But you know, thinking about this idea of hell as other people, well, the truth is, some people are more hellish than others. For instance, the guy who cuts in line at the coffee shop, the passenger who demands special treatment and then yells at the flight attendant, people who somehow feel entitled to take advantage of others. Now, there's a word for them. I can't say it on the air, but it rhymes with glass poles. Philosopher Aaron James has an entire theory about them, complete with definitions and a formal taxonomy. He laid it out in his first book, which was called A-Holes, A Theory, and now he's back with a case in point, a new book called A-Holes, A Theory of Donald Trump. Aaron, is that really what you want to call the president of the United States?
So I definitely think I was right in thinking that he's an A-word. He definitely fit the theory, first of all. That is, he takes special advantages right and left. He violates social norms. I mean, norms that we sort of forgot were there because they're not violated. And he's sort of almost on a daily, weekly basis violating basic social expectations in this way and producing pretty thin rationalizations on the fly in a defensive way and obviously being unwilling to listen to the objections and feeling indignant and that they're unfair. So, I mean, he fits the theory perfectly. And that's just sort of by accident. It wasn't designed around him. It's just he rose up into it and he fits it. But I think there are bigger questions about, well, what kind of A word he is, how to classify him, and then why, given the kind he is, his being an A word has made him so successful. So what explains his success?
Let's take those in order. First of all, let's dig into this subcategorization.
I think the type of A-word he is, aside from being of the newer, thinner style that has a very thin sense of entitlement.
Wait, what do you mean thin sense of entitlement? He doesn't feel hugely entitled?
He feels hugely entitled, but you ask what it is, it'll change. You know, it's like, it's thin in the sense like, I'm a winner, so I'm entitled to do this thing which counts as winning. You know, I'm rich, so that's the justification. Versus an older style of A-word, you know, is doing something for the cause of civilization or the cause of advancing manifest destiny or something, a lot of more grand, or even the cause of America. That gets a little bit closer to Trump, but that's thin as well because it's just make America great. What does that mean? That's hard to say. So it's thin in the sense that there's not much of a claim that you could assess as potentially giving you justification to do something that wouldn't otherwise be acceptable. So he doesn't need much by way of a justification to be supremely confident that he's entitled to take the special advantages and be very defensive and wall out opposition.
Well, this is the big question about President Trump is, given his propensity for abrasive, insensitive speech, how do you explain his appeal and his win?
He frames everything as a domination game, as it were, as a contest for status, for victory. And to some extent, politics involves that. But it also involves a lot more. But he frames everything as this kind of win. And then he's become extremely good at, you know, winning these status contests through arguments on the fly and stuff like that. And he can successfully do it, sort of successfully top the opponent, you know, usually breaking all kinds of conversational rules, using insults, posturing, deception, lying, sometimes, or just BSing, gaslighting, destabilizing the confidence of the other person, or even just switching personas. So all of these tactics for sort of winning a social exchange, he frames everything that he's become very successful at sort of winning these exchanges, and then he does it in an entertaining way, in a way that we can relate to partly because he seems oblivious and they're sort of fascinating. You know, so he's reframed this political contest in this way and then consistently won, you know, all the way up.
I don't know if it's that people are just endlessly willing to forgive him for his gaffes or worse, but isn't it possible that some of what President Trump's detractors see as obnoxious behaviors is exactly what appeals to his supporters? I mean, the fact that he is politically incorrect, that he'll say things that establishment politicians never would.
Yeah, I really do think that's part of his appeal, the fact that he's an A-word to many of his supporters. Maybe some think, no, he's not an A-word, he's just doing the right thing. But a lot think, no, the kinds of things he's doing definitely are not normally acceptable. They're not the sort of things that's okay. But under the dire circumstances, under chaotic politics, under when we have a society that's in decline or when the idea of America is slipping away from us and a political system that's chock full of A-words competing with each other, then what you need is a bigger, a top dog A word.
An alpha A word.
Alpha A word. To bring order to the chaos. And for that, sort of breaking all the normal rules of civility and decorum and stuff like that. And so that's not justifiable necessarily, but it might be forgivable if the outcome sort of works out to be beneficial. That is that people feel like they had a certain kind of authority within the culture, you know, to have their views prevail or be said, and that, you know, the other people who should stay on the margins, people like that who feel like their prominence in the culture is slipping away from, they feel like that order is restored sort of fairly immediately just with Trump saying things that shouldn't be said, just to show that he can say them, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, it's a power move. It's a display of dominance and a rejection of accountability. And that's the point of it. So it's partly that it is not acceptable by the normal standards is what makes him attractive for people in affirming what they feel as their right, you know, rightful authority in place.
You know, critics have often lately been jumping to the conclusion that President Trump's supporters, the people who voted for him, must therefore also be jerks. You know, if you vote for a jerk, you must be a jerk, and possibly a racist, misogynist jerk as well. Personally, I kind of think that's a fairly unsubtle and very misguided view of American voters. But what do you think?
Partly, he has created license for people who either would otherwise be A-words or jerks to sort of come out, you know, and go public, be less shameful.
You advance this idea that perhaps President Trump might be able to use some of his controversial personal qualities for the greater good. Can you unpack that idea?
Well, I think that the things that Trump's supporters, some of them anyway, hope for, I mean, in principle, could pan out. You know, there are lots of sort of bipartisan forms of legislation that are there and could be established with the right kind of leadership. He's the kind of figure that could make that kind of stuff happen. So, I mean, in principle, they're not wrong to think there's a possible outcome, but whether Trump is the man to do it, I think there's almost no evidence about his temperament and his choices to think that he really will do it, and the risks of him further destroying the fabric of democratic cooperation. I mean, he's pulling threads away on a daily basis, weekly basis. The threads get unwound. The threats that those pose to the sort of very fabric of a Republican democracy are really, really, really grave. And that's, you know, aside from things like nuclear wars, unnecessary war and stuff like that. But the fundamental thing that just has to happen, and it has to happen in the hearts and minds of just sort of each citizen, is we just have to get over the contempt that we feel for one another, people opposed to the tribe. That's attempting to understand each other, learning how to criticize but show respect, learning how not to be self-righteous, you know, and so that's the idea.
And how well do you think you're doing at that, given that you've just published a book called A-Holes, A Theory of Donald Trump?
Well, actually, I feel like in the book I bent over backwards to show respect for Trump's supporters, if only by giving the best possible intellectual justification I could for their view. As I also mentioned at the end of the book, you know, I dedicate the book to my fiancé's family, which has Trump supporters. The end of the book concludes with a dialogue with my fiancé's father, who's his Trump supporter, and the kind of dialogue we had, a respectful dialogue we had about Trump's merits. And I say the book is a letter within the family, my immediate family, and also the political family, as a way of trying to understand each other and get on the same page, closer to a kind of political comedy that would rein in the political system and advance goals that all the Americans share.
And what do you think your Trump-supporting family is going to think of your book?
Oh, they love it. Yeah. They love it. They're happy with it. Yeah, so there, yeah, there's no problem there.
Aaron James. He's a philosopher and the author of A-Holes, A Theory of Donald Trump.